Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
99 red balloons go by.
Kitchens have skyrocketed as people in the U.S. order food through delivery apps. You know, more people are starting to realize they're actually ordering from virtual kitchens, leaving customers confused.
Last month, Ryan Benson had a late night craving and picked up a delivery app to place an order.
I thought maybe this was like some kind of like artisan grilled cheese place. I was like, well, I'll try it.
But Benson soon learned his order from the Meltdown was not the small artisanal restaurant he thought it was. The Meltdown turned out to be a virtual restaurant.
I feel like I've been catfished by Denny's. They put on like a fake profile where they were the Meltdown. And it was really just some chef in a Denny's like making my food.
It's all owned by the corporate
Okay, so
if you need my assistance, I can totally speak to all
of this. Yeah, absolutely. I knew you'd be into this topic. Couldn't, you know, Julio's got a, he's got something he's got to deal with this morning. So we weren't able to get him on the show today. But the ghost kitchen issue, which I am not a big user at all of these delivery apps.
No, I've used it once.
I've used Uber Eats one time, and I've never ordered other than I'll order like a pizza or something like that. But I don't use the apps at all, so I know this is an area of ignorance for me. But apparently you have these kitchens that people come and like rent space like they're food entrepreneurs, and they go online and they promote their business, and they cook for people, and then the driver will come pick up. That's one kind of this issue. But it can also be like the Denny's is selling the patty melt under the name of, you know, your hoity-toity sandwich shop.
Sure.
And you don't know that it's really just coming from the Denny's.
The first people in Pensacola to do it was the Chuck E. Cheese, and it was some sort of other pizza
thing
that came about. And but yeah, there's ghost kitchens all over. Ruby Tuesdays has one. Chili's has one. I want to say Applebee's does. I don't know. But you could tell because when you look on the app, it'll give you the address, and you can search it. And of course, I Uber Eats and DoorDash
all the time,
both.
Yeah.
I know. I have passes to both. And yeah.
So
I'm
lazy.
So I'm a bad cook.
I get the value of going on the app. I get the value of, you know, being in all the places where people want to look for their products, which isn't necessarily being at the restaurant. But if you're Chili's, are you selling Chili's food in the ghost kitchen? You're selling other food.
Yeah, they sell, let me see. There's like a wing place, I want to say, that's out of the Chili's or maybe next to the Chili's.
What?
It's weird. They all do it. Yeah, and it's called like Just Wings or something. And I've ordered from it, and it's different than the wings, the bites that you can get from Chili's. And
I'm
I
so
might
baffled
be,
by all of this.
It blew me away too, man.
It's like a whole virtual restaurant economy. Because what I would
they're
think is...
They're not all great, though.
Well, that's the point, is you don't know where it's coming from, you know. And on the one hand, it seems like the virtual alternative, like a food truck. Okay.
Right.
That makes sense to me.
I thought, okay, like Mr. Beast Burger comes out of Ruby Tuesdays, at least on New Warrington. And not that, I don't know, because it's called Mr. Beast. So I thought it'd be a great big burger. And it was just like that's the only time I've ever complained because it wasn't what I thought. I've never ordered from there again. But I thought it was like a little food truck that just rotted,
to be honest.
But, you know.
That's the other thing to me is if I'm ordering food, I want to order it from a place where I know what it is. I'm very much I don't use them anyway.
They
but
have
if
menus.
I were going to do it.
Yeah, you want me to hand you my phone?
No,
I can show you.
I've seen. And so for me, I would order from the Chili's or the Applebee's or the Olive Garden or whatever.
But it shows you a whole menu. Like you're ordering from a separate restaurant.
It seems insane. The whole thing seems insane.
It's like the same cost and it's just a different thing of food.
Who do you complain to if there's a problem? Is it just
DoorDash or Uber Eats?
You're right.
Yeah,
like some, and then they can change their brand if they want to. They can uproot and switch brands and just, you know, some guy or girl is running like five different ghost kitchens out of a rental space in somebody's, I don't know, back alley kitchen. It's just such a weird thing.
But that's not what it is. It's not.
It can be.
Yes, it probably could be. I don't know about that.
Right.
But I haven't done those. But in my head,
the secret kitchen that's somebody else.
Sure. Yeah. But like I've been to Ruby Tuesdays about a million times. I don't want to exaggerate, but you know, and I love it. But it's clean. You know what I mean? And I know, like, the staff there is wonderful and stuff like that. One time we got a little Mr. Beast burger and it wasn't right, and that's fine. It's whatever. But I know it's a good, clean place, man.
Right.
Like, I've been there, and I trust everybody there. And
All I know is I heard this story. I thought we got to talk about this, and I knew Candy would know.
Oh yeah, man! If you have a question on kitchens, food.
So there you go.
Well, not my kitchen.
The ghost kitchen. That's the new thing.
But they're all over. It's funny. Like Chuck E. Cheese pizza is great, but did you know as an adult you can't just go in there and get pizza?
What?
I didn't know that either. I thought people were telling me that because they just
didn't
want to go get it.
It wouldn't be my first choice to begin with, but if it were.
Okay, first off, I don't know the last time you had it. It is delicious. Yeah, but.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we stumbled on a whole new world of unknown things to me anyway. 437-1620 Transgressors comes up next. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Scenic a little slow, backed up due to a lane closure. It's about a half mile from the Highway 90 intersection. Executive Landscaping, big enough to get the job done and small enough to care. And you can call them for a free estimate at 250-3756. If you have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Oh, this is interesting. Somebody says the virtual kitchens sometimes have the fakey recipes from the chain restaurants or even maybe the real ones.
Oh, maybe.
And they make the food without the brand authorization.
That could be it.
Because I know I have a lot of food that I make that's like just like this food or whatever, but I'm not selling it online in a ghost kitchen.
Well, no. It's 8:16. Transgressors next.
This is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Join me Monday at 10 for the Chamber Connection Show. On this week's Chamber Connection, I'll be talking to Gina Melanson, Executive Director of the Gulf Coast Diplomacy Council. Gina will explain how the council brings folks from all over the world to visit and explore Pensacola. And she'll also tell us about their upcoming Mint Jubilee. So join me Monday at 10 for the Chamber Connection Show.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pete Bohr Imports lineup of Volkswagen crossovers and SUVs will fit your lifestyle and your particular budget, whether a Taos, Tiguan, or Atlas. Pete Bohr offers you smart choices, starting with the 2023 VW Taos. This sporty crossover is a joy to drive and is packed with technology. Right now, a 2023 Taos SE is discounted to start from $31,439. The 2023 Tiguan SE comes with third row seating, modern looks, and cargo capacity to hold plenty. It's discounted to start from $32,899. And for the ultimate comfort and more than enough room for your family, friends, and furry companions, the VW Atlas is built for adventure. The 23 Atlas SE with technology, now from $41,599. Pete Bohr Imports has the selection and prices you've been searching for. They're not in Car City, but at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tax, title, and dealer fees. See dealer for details.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, Webster Barnaby, who this week had the unmitigated gall to refer to people of the acronym as mutants from another planet.
It's like we have mutants living among us on planet Earth, as if they were mutants from another planet. This is the planet Earth.
Yes, the state representative even went further and used some horribly mean religious terminology against our people.
The Lord rebuke you, Satan, and all of your demons and all of your imps who come and parade before us. That's right, I called you demons and imps.
So, obviously, Barnaby must go. That's the easy part. But what some of our newer congregants have been asking me is why Barnaby is so wrong, whereas the people he was attacking are okay. After all, some of them used pretty harsh language as well.
Welcome back to the Genital Gestapo. Today we're playing Who's the Panty Police? Because I don't want people looking at my genitals, because that would make y'all pedophiles. I don't want a human centipede of a government telling me where or where not I can pee.
And on other occasions, some of our own woke-alites have called Republicans racists and bigots and Nazis and worse. So why do we give those insults a pass? You know, sometimes I feel like you aren't even reading your catechism, people. Miller's first rule of polemics, Constantinople Convocation Reformed, clearly says, always establish a robust system of double standards, where the rules only apply to your opponents and not to your allies. You see, although we claim to believe in these principles, we really only believe in winning. And if we can pretend to believe in fake principles to make the enemies of justice look bad, well, that's just good tactics. So the most important thing isn't what's being said, but who's saying it, and whether they're on our side. When they say Gestapo, we call it hyperbole that trivializes the Holocaust. But when we say Gestapo, we call it an accurate description. We're in a war here, people! We don't have the luxury of principles and consistency and logic, and of course, I hope you realize that the whole goal of sending up those young people to say such inflammatory things was to bait someone into losing their cool and saying something outrageous. And we did. We really did. Barnaby, our enemy, must go, and our friends the mutants and imps must stay. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Martha E. Pollack and Michael I. Kotilikoff, the president and provost, respectively, of Cornell University. Not as you might think for so pretentiously using middle initials. No, such pretension is very normal and admirable for the thought leaders at universities. This is much more serious than that. When a member of the student proletariat at Cornell recently encountered a painfully triggering account of sexual assault in a book she was reading for her Korean-American literature class, her sympathetic friend did the obviously right thing. She asked the university to require trigger warnings on all classroom materials so that nobody would ever encounter anything upsetting ever again in the pursuit of a college education. Naturally, the student assembly approved the resolution unanimously, since all properly constituted student bodies act as one hive mind. And what did the callous president and the provost say to this super reasonable request? They denied it, adamantly, and pretended that their indifference to the collective anguish of the student body was rooted in some archaic notion of academic freedom and the importance of encountering challenging ideas. But look, this is at odds with our entire movement. If we stand for anything, it is our love of the snowflake and our desire to protect all of the precious, dainty little ones from ever experiencing hurtful feelings, especially in a safe space like the university, where our whole way of life is to pretend like the outside world with its rules and its facts doesn't exist. Surely you understand that we must protect these fragile young'uns from the harms that come, and we must indoctrinate them into our orthodoxy so we can prepare them for a world which will always take care for their feelings the way we do. One day soon, there will be abundant safe spaces for all, and no one will ever have to be challenged by the difficult ideas ever again. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, let us celebrate the outstanding work being done at Build-A-Bear, the stuff-it-yourself children's teddy bear factory, which this week announced a partnership with the draggiest queen of them all, Her Excellency RuPaul. That's right, the adults-only line of teddy bears at Build-A-Bear, called the Bear Cave, began promoting a $56 specialty bear with chocolate fur, a platinum wing, and a shiny gold dress described as cover bear, put the fur in your walk, head to paw, let your whole body talk. She done already done had herses, and now you can have yourses with your very own RuPaul bear. Invigorating prose indeed. Girl, this bear is fierce. Yes, we are working hard to make sure that no place in America is safe from transgenderism and drag queening, because there's nothing to be safe from. We want drag shows in the libraries and schools of America because we want young children to learn the basic truths that gender is fluid, sexual identity and orientation are mere constructs, and all social rules around sex and gender are ultimately as arbitrary and transient as RuPaul's hair color. Besides, if we can get children to embrace gender anarchy, then the bonus will be that when they read a Bible and hear ridiculous claims like that God made them male and female from the beginning and that God's intent for sex only within marriage is to be fruitful and multiply, they will immediately recognize these as anachronistic shackles imposed on them by the patriarchy and reject the rules, the book they're in, and the God who authored them. But why stop at Build-A-Bear? Imagine how many other children's toys can be made fabulous. Barbie can come with a business suit or cargo shorts. And Ken can come with, well, I mean, why not just come with everything that comes with Barbie? And without anatomical correctness, you can pretend any surgery has already been performed. Just imagine what else we could do. BB guns that identify as stuffed animals. Little rainbow-colored army thems. Also, didn't we always know there was something a little bit draggy about superheroes wearing tights and capes and masks, right? I mean, Batman even wears mascara gloves and go-go boots. And as if Hasbro's been thinking of us all along, they already have an entire line of toys and a film franchise actually called The Transformers. Is Bumblebee a boy or a girl? Why choose? As an otherin, they can be either, or both. Is Optimus Prime a pansexual truck former, or just open to using whichever end of the trailer hitch makes most sense in the moment? Let the children decide. Mix and match and do it yourself. That's the motto for the New World Order. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
826 on News Radio 92.3. The text I'm getting about Optimus Prime are cracking me up. Candy's got traffic.
These are
on
pretty
fives.
Funny text, I will say that. Plus, there's a lot with Batman. He lived in that guy's his ward. I mean, what's that all about?
Living in a cave with a minor boy. I mean, you know, there's a lot. There's a lot.
There is a lot. I-10 westbound at mile marker 19. Disabled vehicle with a possible roadblock. Use caution there again. That's I-10 westbound at 19. And Lillian and Highway 98. Accident, it looks like. I don't know if it's been moved off to the side. There was a roadblock earlier. It looks like it is moving along now. And then taking a look at Scenic, slow and backed up due to a lane closure. It's about a half mile from the Highway 90 intersection. Thank you for texting in your tips. And if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Oh, my goodness. You've ruined Transformers for me forever. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A potential $6 billion settlement to cancel thousands of student loan debts moving forward now after the Supreme Court rejected a challenge yesterday. The settlement comes out of a class action lawsuit against several schools. Police are investigating after thieves stole $100,000 in dimes off of a truck in Philadelphia. Authorities say the truck was headed to Florida. It had picked up $750,000 in dimes when they stopped overnight. Thursday morning, police found the trailer broken into, coins scattered across the parking lot. At least $100,000 is missing.
Wow.
And President Biden wrapping up his trip to Ireland today with a visit to County Mayo, where some of his ancestors lived. He's set to speak tonight at a homecoming celebration, and it's expected to bring out as many as 20,000 people.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. What was the can Andrew please sing RuPaul's song again? No.
That was beautiful.
No.
Yeah, man.
No, thank you. No, thank you whatsoever.
That
oh man,
bear is fierce.
You know, we still hit that bear. Girl, that is and you would ask me, did I write the promotional advertising?
Yeah, I thought.
No, they wrote that.
That's
like, that's
their
the
copy?
Actual. And the bear cave is a real thing.
I thought
the
you were
adult
being
only bear section of building. That's like.
I thought you were being extra snarky.
I keep trying to tell you that, like, the real lesson of the transgressors, if I may be so bold.
Here it is.
The real lesson of the transgressors is you literally can't tell the difference between the satire and the reality because they're both the same. There's nothing you can make fun of that couldn't also just as easily be a news story. That's why, you know, Babylon Bee, all these satire, you know, it's conservative Christian version of The Onion, okay? They actually had to launch a website called Not the Bee, which is all the and they had to call it that because people wouldn't be able to know whether they were being satirical or whether they were just reporting
when
the
I
news.
When I heard about the RuPaul bear, I thought it was The Onion.
Yeah. That can't be a real. Build-A-Bear surely doesn't have an 18-plus section. They do. Called the Bear Cave. Just like,
God, imagine
what?
The recordings.
Nicely done.
No, but do you make a wish? I'm going.
No, I guess online you can't do the stuff the bear put the heart in. Kind of, you can't customize it.
Right.
You just kind of get the bear. But you know, whatever. Yeah. No, the difference between the stuff I have to make up or embellish and the stuff that just is the base, it's impossible to tell because it's just that crazy. 829 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? Just kind of an interesting thing. I know this is not brand new, but I thought it was fascinating is, you know, that Harry Potter, they're coming out with a TV series version of this. It's going to be, I guess, like 7 seasons. Each season will be one of the books. And look, my kids loved this, you know, especially my youngest loved Harry Potter stuff. Not really a book reader, but a movie watcher. And I expect we'll devour this. we'll love it. And we'll bring all kinds of nuance and differences. And, you know, because 2 hours versus, say, 12 or 15 hours, it ought to be very interesting to see what they come up with for that. All right, the wrap is coming up next. We've got local community kind of activist Teresa Blackwell and Ed Carson are going to be here in studio with them. We'll talk about the news of the week with particular emphasis on OLF-8 because that's been a big news topic. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
Escambia County joining a lawsuit against big tech companies. More after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. All eyes on a Boston court for the arrival of 21-year-old Air National Guardsman Jack Teixeira, with word that others may also be sought for the leak of military intelligence documents on a gamer site. Former VP Mike Pence asking how a Massachusetts Air National Guardsman got access to that level of documents. Pence also applauding Florida becoming the 20th state to ban abortion when a fetal heartbeat can be detected.
I'm going to continue to be a voice for advancing the cause of the unborn on principle, but also on compassion. And that's where I think Florida, Texas, other states have done well.
Pence on Fox and Friends still praying over a presidential bid. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is on tour from Ohio to New Hampshire before his possible bid when the legislature wraps up May 5th. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 News Radio 92.3. Right now, it is mostly sunny, 69 degrees here in Pensacola. In an effort to combat social media addiction and the mental health effects that can have in students, the Escambia County School District says they're becoming the latest district to join a multi-school district lawsuit against several big-name companies.
Between 2018 and 2019, so this is pre-pandemic, there was a 55% increase in the need for safety plans for children 6 to 13 who were at risk of hurting themselves. This is not a coincidence. It's not just a group of teenagers acting out of control. This has become the norm.
Attorney Carissa Phelps with Levin Papantonio Rafferty. That firm will be representing the district in this lawsuit, which is targeting social media companies such as TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, and YouTube. ECUA says they're shutting down their recycling facility temporarily anyhow because of a staffing shortage. Recyclables will be temporarily taken to the landfill and processed with trash as the ECUA works to hire and train new employees for their MRF. They'll be still receiving separated recyclables like cardboard, but anything collected from the curbside recycling bins is going to be processed with the regular trash at the landfill until they get the MRF fully restaffed. Starting to learn more about the details surrounding that recent arrest of former contractor Jesse Lacoste. With the details, it's News Radio's Joe Ford.
Investigators with the Escambia Sheriff's Office say Lacoste Construction was paid $157,000 for a job back in 2021 that was ultimately abandoned. At about 90% of the work that was done didn't meet code, compromised the structural integrity of the building, and would have had to be demolished and started over. The alleged victim told investigators that Lacoste was sent multiple certified letters demanding either fulfillment of the contract or having his money returned. In December, the alleged victim was awarded over $163,000 in restitution from the Escambia Contractor Competency Board. Lacoste was arrested Tuesday, his sixth since November, and posted $50,000 bond. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Joe. A South Carolina man caught on I-10 yesterday morning, booked into jail on human trafficking charges. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office says 44-year-old Jose Figueroa had picked up two illegal aliens, one of them in Texas, another in Louisiana, and was taking them to Georgia for a fee of $1,100. Figueroa tells investigators that he'd already received half of the money, was due to get the other half when he dropped them off. He was arrested after being pulled over for a traffic violation in Okaloosa County at about 9 o'clock on Thursday morning. Well, after those storms yesterday, several areas of the Gulf Islands National Seashore are currently closed because of sands and water on the road after the storms. And the closed sections of the park include Fort Pickens, both the road and the campground, Opal Beach area and the beach access areas, and Johnson Beach Road, and that's past the Perdido Key parking area. Crews have been working to remove the sand. They're looking to reassess and see whether they can reopen later today. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by GetRefunds.com. Ready to get your business the help it deserves? You can find out if it qualifies for ERC assistance in less than 8 minutes. Up to $26,000 per employee could be waiting. Go to GetRefunds.com and get started. Watching a few things this morning, Lillian and 98. Looks like that has been cleared up. And then Scenic slow and backed up due to a lane closure about a half mile from Highway 90. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's going to be a nice day today with a small chance of a stray shower, high near 77 degrees, otherwise mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 63. For your weekend, we do have some showers and thunderstorms starting Saturday evening going through the overnight period. High on Saturday near 78. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, we've got sunshine, 69 degrees in Pensacola, 69. Also in Gulf Breeze, it's 65 in Milton.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in on Tuesday at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's Tuesday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Your money now this morning. The market's not a big change at the opening bell. The Dow down 153 at 34.2816. The S&P 500 up 213 at 41.4835. And the NASDAQ down 2680 at 12,139.47. Our U.S. 10-year bond rate today is up at 3.498%. Gold prices today are down just a bit at 2,038.10. Silver prices up, though, at 26.06. It is 8:37. The March retail sales report shows food and retail sales across the U.S. were down 1%. From the previous month, that drop a little bit bigger than expected. The biggest declines were at gas stations and general merchandise stores. A lot of prominent Republicans getting together this weekend in Nashville to mingle with people that are known to give a lot of money to political candidates. The Republican National Committee's donor retreat is an opportunity to connect with big donors early in the 2024 primary cycle. Looks like the Washington Commanders are close to having some new owners now. Dan Snyder's reportedly accepted a preliminary deal to sell the football team for a record price of just over $6 billion. That agreement with billionaire Josh Harris, who's the co-owner of the NBA's Philadelphia 76ers and the NHL's New Jersey Devils. Also, businessman Mitchell Rollis. Former NBA great Magic Johnson, reportedly also an investor in the group. The contract still needs to be signed and approved by the NFL. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
To the hip, hop, the hip, it, the hip, hip, hop, you don't stop. Rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's time when we talk with a couple of friends about the events of the week here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Today I've got with me repeat offender Ed Carson.
Guilty.
he is a principal at Carson Lovell, Inc. He is also on the Santa Rosa Planning Board. I think he got dragged back into that. Did I describe that accurately, that he got dragged back into that?
No, this is my first sentence. So
okay. All right. I just remember kind of a, well, I'll do it if nobody else will. So, yeah. And then Teresa Blackwell, who is an advocate for Beulah, she has been mostly in the news and at meetings talking about the, you know, OLF 8 property and the master planning of Beulah in general. But her background is she was a reporter with the Tampa Bay Times for about 10 years and a photojournalist for about 20 years. So, Teresa, and this is the first time we've met, so welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Very happy to be here today.
Great to have you. Well, I have a lot of stuff I want to get to with you guys, but let's start with OLF 8 because I know that's your kind of bailiwick, Teresa. The the big overall question that a lot of us have still about OLF 8 is, are we going to get anything that looks like the deal that was hammered out? Of course, Wes Moreno continues to assure me that, yes, absolutely, the commissioners will follow the spirit of the master plan for sure. And, of course, from the dais, generally they have been saying that. But obviously you were very much on the other side of a lot of these issues from the commissioner of that district, Jeff Bergosh. Do you have confidence that the master plan is going to be followed, or at least honored, if not followed in every letter and jot and tittle?
When I get finished fighting for this, yes, we will follow the master plan. I'm just getting started.
All right, I gotcha.
Beulah's waking up. And so, they want something
so
more.
Yes, but not because of its own, like, the goodwill of the commissioners.
No, not in any way, except for Commissioner Bender. He does understand what the town center can mean for us. He lived in a place like that, and he knows it's not just a shopping center with a Target and a Costco and those national brands you could see anywhere along the interstate. So it'll be a fight, and it'll take all of us, not just me, not just two or three. We have to show up in numbers that we look like a lot of voters. And the spirit of the master plan, so far, that offer from Sterling was not in the spirit. It violated our land development code. It violated the DPZ master plan, which is about 500 pages of design code. It ignored all of that. It is the old style, post-World War II, car-centric type of development. And that is not what we need in Beulah. That is not what we want. We want a heart to our town. A downtown with the things that any small town would take for granted, like public facilities, a place to meet so we don't have to borrow a church, police, fire, a school. This is where we live. Yes, it's a countywide project, but we'll pay back those other districts for the money that was invested. In Beulah, we will live this place for decades to come. So I am in the fight, in case any of the commissioners are wondering. And, you know, I might break a bit of news. At the last BCC meeting, the Breland companies told me they weren't notified about that they were expected to show up with a plan and present it to the BCC until the day before.
Wow. So, now, and that was what, and for those who haven't been following the issue all that closely, the Breland proposal had been one of the proposals, and then the Sterling proposal with D.R. Horton as the home builder came in as well. D.R. Horton and Sterling showed up at the meeting. Breland did not. And there had been this question of whether Breland had notification of the meeting, whether they knew April 6th was going to be the time to be there or not. And they basically got very, you know, criticized by both Mike Kohler and Jeff Bergosh for not showing up to the meeting. But then there was this question of whether they even knew that it was happening. You're saying you've talked to Breland and they did not know the meeting was happening.
Yes, and I told the commissioners that. And the other thing is they criticized their plan, which they threw together in a few hours. They live up in Huntsville. They couldn't develop a plan and be there the next day to present it. So I did put in a public records request. Wes Moreno had, you know, I said at the meeting that it was not fair to them to go ahead with another company when they did not get notice. And Wes Moreno, Commissioner May asked Wes Moreno, he said, do we have documentation? Well, Wes Moreno said, yes, I contacted them. Just last week, I talked with a representative of their partner. I don't know that they have a partner. And they discussed the meeting, and this representative was looking forward to it. Well, I put in a public records request, and Andrea Mitchell sent back a reply that said, no documentation exists. Wes had said, Commissioner May turned to him and said, we want to be fair to our friends. I like the Breland companies. You have documentation, right? And Wes said, absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll find out, because that would very, very significantly change the context of the decision to move ahead with the one in the absence of the competitor. Now, before we get to you, Ed, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, let me get a real quick traffic on the fives from Candy.
Not showing any problems right now. It looks like everything's running smoothly. Taking a look in Beulah, like 9 Mile Road doing just fine. Mobile Highway A-OK and Beulah Road also fine. Certainly, if you see an accident, 437-1620, you can text in your traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Ed, I know Teresa's been kind of talking about the OLFA project, and I know, you know, you're more of a Santa Rosa County guy, but you're a developer. Okay, you know how these things work. And I wanted to give you your chance to, you know, comment. Particularly, one of the things I want to talk about is the choice of Horton as the home builder, which I've said this before, I don't really have a personal opinion, but all I hear is negative from everybody in all kinds of different ways, and that concerns me as well.
And I think that's well-founded, Andrew. I think where we get with this is that we need affordable housing. Affordable housing isn't custom housing. I'm not here to defend D.R. Horton, because I wouldn't. But, you know, where do we draw the line? They bring to market a product that is more, I'm going to say, affordable. And that's just a fact. So it gets you in a tight spot, quite frankly. It's part of our land development code issues as well over in Santa Rosa County. You know, when you start heaping regulations on, it drives up costs, puts little guys out of business, little builders. It leaves only space for the D.R. Hortons of the world. So it's not that cut and dry for me.
Okay, and I think that's one of the concerns that people have looking at Horton as the builder and the plan that they have put forward is, you know, we want this beautiful, amazing town center, whether Beulah ever becomes its own incorporated area. That's the kind of concept that we're looking for. And here we've got row upon row of basically tracked standard homes, you know, put some sticks up and put some roof on and put carpet in and you're done. And, you know, that creates affordability, right. But that does not create the kind of identity, uniqueness, and draw for the kind of folks that we would say generally we want to be living out at OLFA. Teresa?
I would say to that good design does not have to be expensive. There are a lot of choices you can make that don't cost anything more. And the DPC master plan, that covers a lot of that. There are things you can do, like creating four squares that have four units in one building that looks like one house. You can have smaller units. So I don't think we have to settle for D.R. Horton. And the other thing is, the residential that goes in, it should go first, and that helps to support and bring in both the light industrial and the retail. So you want that residential to be good. You want them to be able to go and look at it, and it should be designed well with open spaces for people to have to be outside and to get together, and that's necessary. We can't have the same look all the same houses in a huge mass and attract what we want.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems like the kind of people that would be, that you would want there because they're going to have the disposable income, or they're going to want to be the people who are going to shop at these stores, it's going to draw those in, would be people who are going to probably have a little bit higher demands for the nature of the community and for the kind of house that they're looking at, which that makes sense to me. Ed, you were saying something a moment ago, and I want you to elaborate on it. The idea that the restrictions or design codes being built into the LDC, which is the land development code, something that you're working on the planning board, that actually pushes the smaller local businesses, builders, kind of out of the market, or it disadvantages them. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, we're looking at some amendments to the land development code, and there's several that are significant when it comes to costs and the scale of a development. If you're doing a 20-lot subdivision, there's essentially the same amount of work involved with that as if you're doing a 500-lot subdivision. So, you know, the cost per lot gets a good bit higher. And the little guys, you know, that do 10 and 20-lot meets and bounds subdivisions, actually, these new regulations that are being proposed, they're going to drive up the cost to where the little guys just can't do that. They can't afford it.
So basically, in order for them to comply, it's going to push them out of competitive pricing with the tract home style builders.
Well, to front those costs, and you know, you're talking millions of dollars sometimes. It's just not a situation that's going to help these smaller builders. And I think we want to try to protect them. At least I do. And it's tough, though. I mean, there's certainly some validity to these points that are being made in the land development code or the proposed new land development code, but we've got to figure out a way to make it work for everybody.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I would say, of course, it would be better to have incremental development. We'd get more variety, more interesting place, but there are some new avenues for helping to afford housing just lately. Grants that were in the paper that actually are very generous. It goes all the way up to 120% of the median wage, which would get you up to the people can make about $94,000 a year.
Okay.
And still be considered affordable housing. And the other thing is, I want people who work on OLF 8 to be able to live there. That's part of the walkability. They should have that choice.
Right.
We have to have something there that they can afford, and we can get all kinds of grants. Plus, there's Section 8, which, you know, maybe that doesn't have a good connotation, but that can work too. Commissioner May is...
Yeah, if you can find a way to put any kind of Section 8 housing there, you obviously get Lumen May's vote.
Yes, yes.
Because that's what he said. I think even he thinks of that as pie in the sky joking, but if that's a possibility, you 100% will get his vote.
Yeah, and that is not the old-style building dedicated all to Section 8. You mix that in with everything else, and you've got all incomes together. We want a cohesive community, a diversity of incomes and everything else, and we want a place that can provide for Beulah into the future, and that will draw investment as well as our children and grandchildren. They will want to be there. They will want to stay in Pensacola.
When I think about the OLF8 project, it reminds me of the conversation Santa Rosa's been having a lot about the what is the huge project, the 2,000-acre project? All of a sudden, I just can't think of it.
Industrial park over on 87.
No.
It's housing.
Oh, Jubilee.
Jubilee. Thank you. Good Lord. the Jubilee project, which is, you know, that's not meant to be the same as OLF8, but that's an even larger scale version of, hey, let's do something that's a comprehensive community, right?
Correct. Yeah, they've met some serious resistance from the residents of Santa Rosa County, and actually some of the new provisions that are being proposed for the land development code have come out of those discussions.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's been, I mean, we've covered this quite a bit, and I know there's been a lot of changes in the Jubilee project because of pushback from the citizens, particularly led by the Fowler family that have done an amazing job of just showing up and being annoying, but making good points that the commissioners are now trying to take into stock. Now, you've been working on the LDC in Santa Rosa County. We've kind of talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
You were at the meeting till what, 11 on Monday?
11:30 Monday.
And then last night, which was a zoning meeting last night?
Zoning meeting, however, the last 45 minutes or so of it were further discussions about process, and we're kind of hung up on that right now.
So, I mean, if I'm just a listener and I'm trying to understand what's happening at the planning and the zoning board meetings in regard to this LDC, I mean, what are the things that you're really getting hung up on? What does it mean to me?
Specific items are to do with what I was talking about before, meets and bounds, subdivisions.
What does that mean?
Instead of having a subdivision with a plat and, you know, lot one, block A,
okay,
the property is described by the way a survey would. You know, 220 feet northwest to a point, then you turn 400 feet to a point, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And it's a lot different than getting a subdivision platted and all the lots are just one side by side.
Okay. And you guys are working, and how are you working on that?
Well, there's always been some concern about there's no real oversight on meets and bounds for storm drainage. So they're trying to put some provisions in there to handle that. And again, it drives up the cost. These types of divisions tend to be rural. So, you know, it's the old Santa Rosa County question of we want it rural and this side wants it not so rural. And so there's a clash.
A tension between the rural and the urban, and also between the how much regulation or not, because again, that drives up the cost issue. Let me pause this for just a second. It's The Wrap. We've got Ed Carson here in studio with Carson Lovell Incorporated and Teresa Blackwell, who is an advocate for Beulah and a former reporter. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I was trying to find the Green Acres theme. The cars. The stars. Okay, now. There was an accident that just happened. This car crash at Barrancas in Maine in Pensacola. It just happened and blocking both lanes heading south to Bayou Chico. That's on Barrancas. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. Thank you for doing so. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We always run out of time pretty quickly. Go ahead, Teresa.
As a final thing, I just like to say that the DPZ master plan is all we have. They're a design code to protect us from poor development like we have seen from DR Horton. That's what we have to stick with. That's what's in our plan. That was the commissioner's promise to the people of Beulah, and so many of us contributed to that plan.
And again, I trust Wes, and Wes has assured me repeatedly, but trust but verify, you know, and also make sure that we watch the process, because I think at this point there's honestly an open question about whether we stick with the Sterling and D.R. Horton or whether we open it back up to Breland. The commissioners can undo what they've done, certainly. You would think that since nothing's been done yet officially, they're on negotiations anyway. Ed, you look like you wanted to jump in on this. Go ahead.
I go back to the old days where Jim Cronley was trying to put this whole thing together as an industrial park, which is prior to Navy Fed and Nature Trail and all that stuff. So I'm an economic developer person too, so I'm torn as to, you know, the original intent and where this thing's heading. So hopefully it'll land somewhere. I just don't know where it's going to
land. Yeah, and, you know, there's a little bit of all of it, I think, in there. But it's certainly not what, you know, Cronley had originally envisioned and what, you know, Stephen Barry and Jeff Bergosh had originally thought of as it being almost exclusively or largely that light industrial, which, of course, is why the citizens pushed back and said, no, this is our land. We don't have to use it that way, right?
Right. It's not just what we want. It's what the market will support.
Right.
You know, and I've been saying that for years, that we needed some residential.
Yeah, and again, the residential, the value isn't just because that's people need places to live, that's obvious, but because having those people there is what will support the ability to draw in the other commercial, retail, the entertainment, Jeff Bergosh's precious steak shop, you know, all of
he'll
that kind of stuff.
He'll get his glass of wine with his steak, yes. Yes. Exactly. So what? Listen, I have a column in the paper Sunday.
And I'm looking forward to that in the PNJ. Mm-hmm.
PNJ, so there's that.
Very good. Well, we always run out of time. I didn't even get to the eight other things I had on my list to talk about with you, but that's good. That's why I wanted to hear, and that's why I wanted you here, Ed, because you see things from the developer perspective, you know, and you have those kind of questions. So let me just say this. Teresa, I appreciate the work that you've done, that you keep passionately arguing for the perspective of the citizens. And Ed, I appreciate what you do, especially now working on the land development code and always being available whenever I call you and have a question. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely. Well, that's it for The Wrap. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A fatal pedestrian accident on Highway 98 last night.